the Salinas Valley. We won, we won, we won. We stood in the picket and we joined in the rally. We won, we won, we won. They had the power in the politicians. We won, we won, we won. But we had the people and we had the mission. We won, we won, we won.
This is a Building Bridges, your community and labor report special. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Well, we have won. We beat the bell. 4 years of struggle and the coalition of Immokalee workers won, they won, they won. The four-year boycott is over. On March 8, 2005, the coalition of Immokalee workers reached an agreement with the largest restaurant company in the world and owner of Taco Bell for increased wages and an improvement in working conditions of tomato pickers in Immokalee, Florida. This unprecedented victory is proof that major multinational corporations can be held accountable for upholding the rights of workers throughout their supply chains. And we are pleased to have with us on the bus Lucas Benitez, who is a co-director and founder of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers and recently received a humanitarian award from the Robert F. Kennedy Foundation, and Steve Lees, who will be translating. And what a long overdue victory.
Begin, begin, stand to fight together to overcome soon, and we'll win, we'll win, we'll win. Yes, everybody come and join in the union. Begin, begin, begin. Stand to fight together to overcome soon, and we'll win, we'll win, we'll win.
We'd like to ask what you've won. How does this work in terms of the victory? What is the victory over Taco Bell?
Tenido en contra de esta corporación de Taco Bell. Es realmente algo sin precedentes, porque es la primera vez que una corporación tan grande como Taco Bell y John Brands reconoce a los trabajadores agrícolas como parte de la industria. Y realmente,
really, the victory we've achieved over Taco Bell is an unprecedented victory, because this is the first time that a major fast food company, Taco Bell, has recognized the role of farm workers in its supply chain. So for us, this is how we imagine it. It's just like when man first landed on the moon. And it's the same for us. We are arriving at some new territory that we're ready to now explore. And when, as man first landed on the moon, he put the flag down. And so we are also putting our flag down on that new territory. So for the first time, this flag is the flag of labor, that right now, for the first time, organized labor has put their flag down to be recognized in this new territory.
Maybe you can give us a more graphic account of the condition that the tomato workers were going through for these many years prior to this victory.
Las condiciones tal vez todos hemos visto, toda la gente que está escuchando este programa ha visto la película o el documentario de Harvest of Shame que se firmó hace años. Las condiciones básicamente no han cambiado desde hace años hasta hoy. Salarios bajos, extrema pobreza, y también básicamente trabajamos overtime.
The conditions in the field that the tomato pickers live in are pretty extremely bad, and really they haven't changed since the time of the video, the documentary that was made called Harvest of Shame. The tomato pickers receive extremely low wages, and they have absolutely no benefits. And so we work overtime, but we're not paid overtime. And we also are excluded from the National Labor Relations Act. And the average wage of the farm worker, as indicated by a study the Department of Labor has found, is only around $7,500 a year. It's really sad that we continue to face cases of slavery, forced labor. Here in Florida, the Coalition of Immokalee Workers has worked closely with the Department of Justice in the past 5 years to investigate 5 cases of forced labor, of slavery. So in the past 5 years, we've helped to liberate some 1,000 farm workers who were held against their will to work in forced labor under conditions where they received no pay or extremely little pay, and they're watched by armed guards, and they're unable to leave where they work. Sadly, the instances of physical abuse and even the most extreme of slavery are still pretty frequent, and that's aside from the other conditions we face, low pay and the lack of benefits. So really the conditions of the farm workers are, well, you can compare it to the workers in sweatshops. We are literally sweatshop workers in the field.
How will the settlement with Taco Bell change the conditions in the fields for the workers in Florida? And how will the settlement affect the income of the workers in Florida?
En parte del acuerdo que hemos tenido con Taco Bell es de que ahora, la gente que está escuchando su programa puede también entrar a la página de internet de John Brandt. Han hecho unas adiciones a su código de conducta, donde
the impact that this agreement has is basically the code of conduct, which the listeners of this program can check out themselves on our website, in which the Taco Bell agrees that it will not tolerate any abuses of any of its suppliers. Basically, the agreement says that if there are any abuses found, if Coalition of Immokalee Workers finds out that there's any of these abuses, or if even a single worker comes to report this kind of abuse, then it will be looked into and the supplier will cease to do business with Taco Bell. But that is to say, Taco Bell will cease to do business with that supplier. For those farm workers who pick tomatoes for Taco Bell, they're going to be earning now about 75 cents a bucket. That's piece rate wage. And that is retroactive. It starts effectively from the 1st of January. And the other thing is that now all the workers, if there's anything that happens to them, they can report it to the coalition without fear of any reprisal.
Does that mean that the coalition will also be doing the monitoring? What prevents Taco Bell or Yum, the parent entity, from buying tomatoes from other entities?
Lo que es básicamente que Taco Bell y la coalición nos hemos llegado a ese acuerdo donde...
First of all, this is our part of the agreement that the Coalition of Immokalee Workers will receive a report from Taco Bell and will to understand that Taco Bell is playing its part, but also Taco Bell and Coalition will have a monthly reporting about the conditions of the workers for the suppliers of tomatoes to Taco Bell to make sure that it's agreeing to its part. And the reason Taco Bell doesn't buy from other suppliers is because right now Florida is the main supplier of tomatoes, especially at this time of the year, so it doesn't leave them any other options to buy tomatoes. But then this also will have the impact on the tomato production all extends beyond Florida as well. We hope this will have that impact.
And Lucas, what was your background and experience that led you to helping to form the coalition?
Realmente en la coalición no tenemos expertos. Yo empecé esto cuando tenía apenas 17 años, recién llegado de México, pero prácticamente la organización, la coalición, lo que te da es la oportunidad de crecer en todos los aspectos. El liderar algo como el boycott, en ser una de las personas que puede hablar por los demás trabajadores también.
Well, really, the coalition doesn't have any single expert. And for my part, I came to the coalition after recently arriving from Mexico. I was only 17 years old and found the coalition gave a chance for me to speak up, to raise my voice. And like it has with all the other worker members, it's given them a chance to participate and become leaders themselves. And so if you come to a place like Immokalee and you come from somewhere else and you come to work and then you see these conditions, and you're living those conditions, and every day you're asking yourself, is this really what I want? Is this how I want to live? Is this how we want to live? Then this is where we start to raise those questions, and this is how the workers get a chance to bring about that change.
Entonces, uno de nuestros lemas es que todos somos líderes y que somos una organización del pueblo y para el pueblo, y todos podemos y tenemos la capacidad de desarrollarnos como tales.
And so this is the point that we're all the worker members themselves are leaders. They're members of the community, and they're participating in this whole effort to bring about this change.
I don't want to take for granted the 4 years that have passed in bringing us to this point of success. Could Lucas tell us how he got involved and helped found the Coalition of Immokalee Workers and what it's been like sustaining this boycott for 4 years?
Bueno, la coalición nace debido a todo el abuso, a toda la imbalanza de poder que existía, o que sigue existiendo entre trabajadores y rancheros y las grandes corporaciones presionando.
So first, the coalition came about to raise its voice against the oppression and the exploitation the farmers face here in Immokalee, but then that voice grew to raise our voice against the corporations as well that play a role in that abuse. People from many different backgrounds come to support this boycott, and those are people from different religious faiths, different religious groups, students, organized labor and unions, and also community groups, all have come together to support this boycott, to sustain that. All of their support has given us the strength and patience to carry on and to continue to think, when are we going to win? Well, actually, the question was never whether or not we are going to win, but when are we going to win?
Lucas Benitez and Steve Lees as translator, we thank you. We've won, we've won, we've won. It is an inspiration to all of us in our endeavors.
The AFL-CIO should be asking you how to work it. Thank you so much for this victory and good luck.
And we have been speaking to Lucas Benitez and Steve Lees from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers in Florida. And they were right on the bus, straight back from what was going to be a demonstration, but was turned into a celebration in Louisville, Kentucky. Well, Representative Grijalva is seeking support for the Labor Recruiter Accountability Act that addresses the indentured servitude often imposed on workers hired for recruiters overseas that renege on promises of fair wages and decent working conditions. And we are now very pleased to welcome U.S. Representative Raul Grijalva.
Representative Grijalva, maybe you can flesh out for us what some of the conditions are that calls for such legislation. What's going on out there that this legislation is necessary?
I think we have a very good example right now in front of us, an example that's not underground and ignored. The Coalition of Immokalee Workers just won their labor action against Taco Bell and Yum Products, which is the parent company of Taco Bell, dealing with the tomato pickers in Florida. And as a consequence of their victory, I think it's brought to light many of the issues that we're talking about in the legislation that seeks to bar indentured servitude by labor recruiters. That was an important victory. And it was people that, to some extent, are politically dispossessed. They have no claim to a political position in this country simply because they're farm workers. They've been recruited by foreign recruiters to come and work in this country. And then they have to work in conditions in which it's servitude. They're at the complete whim in many aspects, for working conditions, where they live, what they get paid. They're at the complete whim of whoever hired them to work in that particular area. In this instance, it was tomatoes. In instances in Florida, the Southwest, and California, it's other areas. Usually farm workers, usually agricultural workers. And so the importance of their victory was that it brought to light the abuses that have been occurring, I think, too long in this country. And so that was an important victory, and I think it promoted the legislation to bar indentured servitude by labor recruiters, to set some standards to the Labor Recruiter Accountability Act that was introduced in 2003 and will be reintroduced again. It requires employers and foreign labor contractors to inform their workers of the terms and the conditions of their employment the time they are recruited. It makes employers jointly liable for violations committed by recruiters in their employ, and authorizes Secretary of Labor to take additional legal action to enforce these conditions. It's a means to discourage the kind of disreputable and abusive and oppressive conditions that many workers in this country that go unseen, unheard, that put food on the table of this nation of ours, and yet are exploited to a great degree by the abuses and the advantages that both employers and recruiters take of them.
Representative Grijalva, let's go back to 2003. It would seem a slam dunk to have a bill that essentially abhors indentured servitude, slave-like conditions under which farm workers toil, passed in the legislature. Why didn't it pass in 2003, and what will be different, hopefully, this
well,
time?
Well, you know, and I mentioned the example of the coalition. I think they brought to light, through their own initiative, their own sacrifice, their ability to organize and make this boycott of Taco Bell a very public, nationwide effort. I think it's brought tremendous attention to it. In 2003, I think it was we were still at the disadvantage that major corporations that utilize and take advantage of this labor, make it cheap, make it exploitive, were able to manipulate that vote. I think it's going to be different this time for one reason only. One, public acknowledgement of the issue. And two, we're dealing with this very volatile and divisive issue in this country. It shouldn't be divisive, but we're dealing with it, and that's the issue of immigration reform. And what are we going to do with people that are here working in this country, being paid in this country, and yet have no right or access or due process to their working condition and to the way they live? I think it's all got put into a time frame where you can't ignore the Accountability Act because it's part and parcel of an effort to reform how we treat people and how we use labor in this country. It's not as simple as the flow of, you know, everybody talks about globalization as though goods and services are flying and technology is flying across borders. Labor is also moving, and labor is being recruited into this country, and cheap labor is being demanded in this country. So I think the question begs to be answered. Is this the way we as a nation want to be seen? And is this the way we want to use people? I think the whole framework has changed significantly since 2003.
There are those who fear that if guest workers are included in the immigration, quote, reform, end quote, that'll tie the guest workers to a specific employer and would make abuses more prevalent. Is that your feeling?
I think that is an important concern, and it is one of the feelings and one of the things that I want to make sure that any legislation that talks about guest worker programs is not merely about the use of labor, but is the rights and the protections we give attendant to that labor. I'm a first-generation American. My dad came to this country as a bracero, which back in the 40s was a guest worker program. Came to work here, but he had a path to legalization, and he had a path to be able to stay in this country and make his status permanent. So any immigration bill that does not tie a comprehensive approach to dealing with the immigrant question in this country and merely talks about how do we use this labor and how do we return it without providing protections for that labor when they're here and when they return, and also providing for the 8 to 10 million people that are already working in this country a system by which they can access their status and make their status legal and protected in this country, I think is not comprehensive and it's not immigration reform. To merely do a guest worker program where we exploit labor and make it an employer-based guest worker program, I think would be a big mistake for this country.
What other kind of legislation would you like to see that works on behalf of the immigrants, of the farm workers who grow the food in this country and have sweated so long, a real case of blood, sweat, and tears?
Companion legislation that has also been introduced in Congress is the Ag Jobs Bill, Agricultural Jobs Bill. And that talks about dealing with agricultural workers as a set of workers that need to have the same kind of protections we just talked about in terms of employer responsibility, federal responsibility in terms of Secretary of Labor, and protections for those workers and guaranteed benefits and working conditions. Minimal as they may be, they're guaranteed and enforceable by federal law. That job and that template under the Ag Jobs Bill, it's probably the best template we can use if we're going to have a guest worker program, because it's not merely about using and exploiting. It's about giving that person the dignity And the most important thing about dignity is giving that person who's working in our fields the respect, the credibility, and the rights to be able to protect his or her interests. That is key. Ag Jobs Bill is a piece of companion legislation endorsed by the United Farm Workers, the Council of Churches, and, believe it or not, the Farm Bureau and the Chamber of Commerce. You know why?
No, why?
Because it plays to the economic self-interest of having these employees here.
Hmm.
And I thought that was unique in that you have United Farm Workers, which is a union, the church groups who are there to protect the justice and the well-being of individuals, and the Chamber of Commerce that is protecting employers, and the Farm Bureau that needs that labor on a daily basis in order for them to produce their product. It's a venture that is bipartisan and is the kind of companion legislation that continues to protect the dignity and the rights of these people that we are saying, come here and work. But when you come here and work in this great nation of ours, you have the dignity and a place in this nation the same as any other worker in this nation.
Representative Grijalva, how many workers would you say are affected by this bill? And if you could just go back and flesh out some more of the terms of the bill for us so that people can understand how strategic, how important it is that we see the passage of this particular bill, which is the Labor Recruiter Accountability Act.
The number fluctuates depending on the need, but in the agricultural area, and now it's shifting into the construction area and some of the service area, foreign recruiters are asked and contractors are made responsible to recruit foreign workers to come and work in the United States. Whether it's a Walmart store in Lynchburg, Virginia, or a garment factory in Saipan, the fact is that there's a systematic use of the flow of labor across this country. And so the issue is that number fluctuates, but it is not 10 or 12 individuals we're talking about. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people that are under the labor recruiter criteria, and then we're potentially talking about that number times 10 of people that are not under that labor recruiter status but are merely in this country with a work visa or undocumented working and doing the work that many Americans don't want to do in this country.
And how would the labor recruitment bill tighten up the process?
How would it actually, yeah. Sanctions, making the employer liable for violations committed by recruiters that bring workers to them. And it would require employers and foreign labor contractors to inform workers of the terms and conditions of their employment so there is a real choice involved as opposed to a supposition about what they'll be doing. Heavy fines on employers and recruiters who failed to live up to their promises, enforceable by United States law and by the Labor Department. And it discourages disreputable foreign labor contractors by requiring the Secretary of Labor to maintain a public list of foreign labor contractors, which is unknown to the rest of us right now, who have been involved in violations of the act, and by providing additional penalties if employers use a contractor listed on that list. It has sanctions to it for the employer and the contractors that abuse it, and it has protections for that worker that is recruited to come to work for in this nation.
Representative Grijalva, how do we lend our voice to support this legislation and make sure that it is passed?
I think the important thing is not that this kind of legislation is not isolated. It's not just Florida that has a need for employers, farm workers. It's not just the Southwest that has a need for farm workers. It's not just California. This is a nationwide issue. And as important as it is to the nation, the production of food and a consumer need, then it should be an issue. And this legislation should be vital to every single member of Congress. And it should be a nationwide issue and not be isolated as a singular issue that just affects a small group of people. It affects the whole nation. And the bigger it is as a nationwide issue, the more advantage we have and the better opportunity we have to pass this kind of legislation.
Well, Representative Raul Grijalva, we really thank you for being with us.
Very kind of you to invite me in anytime.
Oh, we will again, no question about it. And we want to see the passage of this bill that will put an end or seek to put an end to indentured servitude, and that is the Labor Recruiter Accountability Act. Thank you for joining us.
Very kind. Thank you.
So everybody come and join in the union. Begin, 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 and stand to fight together.
And this has been Building Bridges, your Community and Labor Report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. And you can reach us at knash@igc.org. That's knash@igc.org.
Fight together to overcome soon, and we'll win, we'll win, we'll win. We won our union at Yale University. We won, we won, we won. We stood in the face of fear and adversity. We won, we won, we won. They had the power of an Ivy League college. We won, we won, we won. They had the bucks and what we had, the knowledge. We won, we won. So everybody come and join in the union. Begin, begin, begin. Stand to fight together to overcome soon. And we'll win, we'll win, we'll win. Yes, everybody come and join in the union. Begin, begin, begin. Stand to fight together to overcome soon. And we'll win, we'll win, we'll win.